Hello, and welcome to the third video in the Microsoft Azure IaaS Architecture Best Practices for ARM series. I'm Jeff Lankford, a Cloud Solutions Architect with the Microsoft State and Local Government team. In this section, we will be building out the basic virtual machines in both the West and East regions using the Azure Resource Manager portal. The full listing of the videos in this series is listed here. In the next video, we will continue the build-out of our Azure infrastructure by creating some advanced virtual machines that use multiple hard disks and premium storage. We will continue towards the completion of the full scenario in the videos following this one. The workload scenario that we are building in this video series is shown here. We have already built out the virtual network, so now we are ready to start building the virtual machines. These servers are created in different subnets and resource groups depending on their individual requirements. They are also split across multiple storage accounts. In this table, you can see all of the specific resources and components that every virtual machine will use. It indicates the name of the VM, its static IP address, which subnet it is deployed in, the load balancer it will be a part of, if necessary, the availability set that it is in, its size, the top-level resource groups that it belongs to, and the primary storage account it uses for its virtual hard disks. Let's get started with the build-out. Okay, so here we are back at our portal where we left off at the last video. There's one more thing that I want to do before we continue begin the creation of the virtual machines. I want to go ahead and create a new connection, which is going to connect VNet West to VNet East. And we're going to do this by creating another connection, just like we did for our site-to-site VPNs, only this time it's a VNet to VNet connection. So I'm going to go New, Networking, Connection, and right here it defaults to VNet, which is what we want here. I'm going to use an existing resource group. I'll just put it in the West one. Location West US, that's correct. Click on OK. And I'm going to choose our first virtual network gateway, which is the West. Choose the second one, which is the East. And then here we go. It's got the first connection name, the second connection name. It'll establish bidirectional connectivity. Put in our pre-shared key again. This is my PSK. Click on OK. That all looks correct. Okay, it'll validate it. It'll kick off the connection. Go ahead here and look at the deployment. And it started. So once this is completed, those two virtual networks, the one in West and the one in East, will be connected. That's as simple as it is. Okay, so now let's go in and start building out our virtual machines. To do that, we'll go into virtual machines. Okay, here we are at the Add a Virtual Machine tab. You'll see we have no virtual machines here, so it's just empty. We're going to go ahead and click on Add. When it comes to this main page here, you'll see that there's lots of different things that you can add in here, different, you know, Windows-based, Linux-based, business applications, etc. But it's a really big list. And to narrow it down, the easiest thing to do is just type in Windows up here and hit Enter in the search bar. And then it'll narrow down the list. And so we can deploy Windows Server 2012 R2 or 2016. Since this is a brand new build out of all new stuff, let's just use the latest and greatest, and we'll put in a Windows Server 2016 data center. It brings up this tab. Resource Manager is correct. We'll click on Create. And now we start putting in the individual pieces of the puzzle to create this virtual machine. First of all is the name. This is WUSDC01. And then we go down to VM disk type. So for this one, we're going to choose hard disk drive rather than SSD. SSD are our premium virtual machines. that can work with the D series and some of the other ones. But we don't need that. We don't need to have a high IOPS workload on this particular server because it's just a domain controller. So we're going to choose HDD. Now we're going to type in the local user administrator name. Now note that this name cannot be admin or administrator. It has to be something that's different. Type in the password. Okay, and they match. Correct subscription. We're going to use our existing resource group since those are already created. And this is West VM Identity. And it's in West. So it looks okay. We'll click on OK there. Now we're going to choose the virtual machine size. You get a very limited view of three different sizes here, but unless you really want one of these, you're really going to want to click on View All, and this will show all of the machine sizes that are available. So now that that's up, I'm going to go ahead and scroll down to the size that we pre-selected for this, and we determined that this is going to be an A2 V2, two cores, 4 gigs of RAM. That's just fine for a domain controller. We'll go ahead and select that. And now we'll continue with the settings here. And up at the top here, you see storage, and one of the things it says is use managed disks. Managed disks are a new feature that you can use in commercial. It's not yet available in government, but it will be shortly. And if you use managed disks, it disconnects the disks from a particular storage account. So it manages them just like any other component within the Azure stack, rather than having it attached to a specific storage account. But in this case, we're going to use the storage account mechanism. Okay, and since we've pre-created these, I'm going to put in the right one. This is the ID, so that's the identity one. It's in that same resource group. Now we're going to choose network. Okay, this is in VNet West, which is what we want. Now we'll choose the proper subnet for that. This is identity workload, so it's going to go in the identity subnet. Public IP address. We'll go ahead and click on this. By default, it's going to assign a public IP address to every virtual machine that you create. We don't typically want this, especially not for enterprise workloads like a domain controller. We typically don't want to expose those directly to the internet, so we don't need a public IP address. We're going to click on none. In order to get to this machine, we will use the private IP through the VPN that we've already established, rather than going through the internet. Network security group, you can assign one at a virtual machine level if you want to, but in this case, we're going to go ahead and say none as well, because the last video in this series, we're going to talk about security and network and how to use the NSGs to secure all your workloads. Extensions, we don't need any extensions in here. And now we're going to click on availability set. I want to talk about high availability for a minute here. In order to get an SLA on your virtual machines in Azure, you need to put them in an availability set for like workloads. So you have to have a minimum of 2 machines per workload to get to that SLA. Unless this is a premium storage machine, such as a DS series. If the OS and data disks are all utilizing premium storage, you can get the SLA on a single instance VM without putting them in an availability set. But we want to make sure that we have, you know, high availability across the board for everything that we're doing here, since this is going to be our primary SharePoint workload. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new availability set. And in this case, it is AS-DC. The AS for availability set, and DC, it's for my domain controllers. You don't have to worry about the fault domains or the update domains, although these are things that if you have lots of machines and a specific architecture that you want for high availability, you can manage those. That's a deeper subject, you know, to go into here. So I'm not going to talk about it. So for the most part, you can just leave these at their defaults and they'll be fine. Click on OK. All right. And now there's monitoring. So by default, boot diagnostics is enabled and guest OS diagnostics is disabled. You can change these if you wish. It's recommended to keep your boot diagnostics enabled. Now what we need to do is find the storage account for it. Now look, it already defaulted to this one, which is the one that we wanted in anyway. We're going to put all of those diagnostic logs in this same storage account. So that all looks good. Let's go ahead and click on OK. And now it gives us a summary, running a validation. Validation is passed. You can just kind of go through here, make sure everything looks good. Yes, my name's fine. All these settings look good. Standard A2. There's the storage account. Yep, everything looks good. And it's going to go ahead and create this new availability set here. Go ahead and click on OK. And now that job will get kicked off. We can go ahead and monitor it here. The deployment of a single Windows VM generally takes, on average, about 8 minutes to complete. So while this is happening, let's go ahead and add in the second domain controller for that. So we can either go here and go into compute and then make our choices here, or we can go back to virtual machines, which is where we started this, and click on add. Okay, type in Windows again. And go ahead and go down to Windows Server 2016 Data Center. Resource Manager, Create. And now we're going to do all the basic settings again. WUS DC02. VM type, hard drive. Do our username. Okay, those match. I want to put that in the same resource group, which is my identity workload in West US. Click on OK. Go back, choose that same size. Click on the view all. Okay, and then now we can scroll down. To get that standard A2 V2, click on select. And now we'll finish out the settings the exact same way that we did it before, with one exception. Storage account. That goes in ID. Choose our network. That's VNet West. Our subnet is, of course, identity. Public IP address is none. Network security group, also none. And now here's where we're going to make that one exception, and that's the availability set. So now, instead of creating a new one, you can see that this one that we created for that first domain controller pops up. So we're going to select that one that we already created so that both of those domain controllers are in the same high availability set. I'm going to click on OK. Ran the validation, everything looked good. We go through, do a quick check, make sure everything looks good. Yep, it's all the same. That's going to work. Click on OK. And now it's going to go ahead and kick off that deployment as well. Okay. So the rest of the basic virtual machines are going to be created identically to what I did here. So I'm going to go ahead and just build all of those out to save time on the video. And then once they're built out, I'll resume the video and we'll continue on. Okay, you'll see here in looking at the screen that I've built out the rest of these virtual machines. A couple of them are still creating. These are all of the basic configuration virtual machines that I had on the list. So now what we need to do is I'm going to change the IP address on this first domain controller and actually log on to it, make it a domain controller, and everything that's necessary for it to resolve all of the addresses and join all of these other machines to the domain. When you first create a VM, what happens is it is assigned a dynamic IP address through DHCP. We need to change this because we want to have static IPs for all of these. So I clicked on the virtual machine here, and then it takes me into this, and this is looking at this DC. So if I go into the VM, I go right here under Network Interfaces. We're going to go ahead and click on that. You'll see right here, this is the network interface for that DC, and it has a private IP address of 1.4. I actually want this to be 1.11. So we're going to go ahead and change it here. So now I'm in the network interface. I'm going to click on IP configurations. And right here, you'll see it's dynamic. Let's go ahead and change that by clicking here. And we're going to go and make this static. And we're just going to change this 4 to 11. Okay. It says virtual machine associated will be restarted to utilize the new private IP address. That's fine. Let's go ahead and do that. So I'll go ahead and save it. It's going to save the network interface and it's going to reboot this virtual machine. We can go back here to the VM status page. And everything will come up here, and you can see here's DC01 and that it's starting. Okay. In the meantime, I can go ahead and open up remote desktop and put that IP address in there because I'm going to be going from my local on-premises network on my workstation through the VPN up to that new IP address that I've assigned to it. Okay, you can see here I've opened up a remote desktop connection to my server in Azure. This is its IP address. This is going through my VPN tunnel on premises up to Azure. And so now all I need to do is go ahead and join this to the domain. Go ahead and click here. We're going to change it. It's going to go to my local domain. And that's the correct computer name. Click on OK. Enter my domain credentials. It should go ahead and validate it. It's contacting the DC right now. And then once this is done, I'll reboot the server. And when it comes up, it will be part of the domain. since it's a domain, and then I'll need to go in and configure the domain services on it and whatnot. And then once that happens and it becomes a domain controller, all of the other remaining virtual machines up in Azure can use this to authenticate locally rather than having to come through the VPN tunnel. So you can see there it was successful. I'll go ahead and click on OK. OK. Close, and we'll go ahead and restart it. Okay. So that'll be restarting here in a minute. And these are all of the other VMs. So it looks like we've got everything that we need. Once this is up, we can join the rest of the machines to the domain. However, what we should do now is go ahead and change the DNS settings for the network to point to that domain controller in Azure rather than the domain controllers on premises, which is how they're currently set up today. So I'll go in here into VNet West. And I'll go into DNS servers. And now we're going to change these to 10.20.1 dot 1 dot 11 and 10.20.1.12. We'll go ahead and save this. It'll go ahead and update these DNS settings on the virtual network. There we go. It's saved. So now all of the other VMs will point to these DNS servers, which is my two domain controllers that I've created up there in the West region. Okay, so back to the dashboard. These are the three virtual machines that I've created in the East region. If I go and I look at my overall virtual machine list, you can see over here, these are the East ones, and these are all the West ones. It shows the resource groups they're in, what their status is, and the name. So now that we have completed that, I will go through and I'll go ahead and change all of these IPs to static, and then I'll go in and join them to the domain, and these will all be complete. So that concludes this video. In the next video, we're going to be building the rest of the virtual machines, which are the SQL servers and their advanced virtual machines. They will be using premium storage accounts, and they will also have multiple disks. So I will show you how to build those and configure them. Thank you for watching.